Today's going to be the last day of our discussion of Greek, of Egyptian mythology. Okay, day four, last day. Tomorrow we're going on to a new topic. Okay, I'm leaving out a lot of stuff because two reasons. Number one, I don't understand it. I don't understand. Number two, we have to go further. It's time to move on. But one more, a little bit more. Okay, let me tell you some shocking things that I have discovered in the Sefer. I told you, day four, Mitzrayim, Midrash, and myth, Egyptian mythology, rabbinic tradition. What?
You know what? You're talking about the...
How can you say can I not call this a Sefer?
What?
How can you not call this a Sefer?
I'm asking.
Of course it's a Sefer. He's showing, he's fataychen psukim based upon an understanding of Egyptology.
Okay.
This is Torah.
If you have a book, that's stories of rabbis, let's say...
That's not Torah.
Is that a Torah?
No, it's not. A story of a rabbi is not Torah. Can't say it. These are psukim. He's telling you pshat in the pasuk. He's telling you pshat in the medrash. Pshat in the chazal. He's taking the Mamari chazal and explaining to you what they mean. And some are mamish explicit. The midrashim are very explicit about the various types of avodah zarah. Very explicit. But then he's showing you in things that are not explicit that it can be understood in a different dimension, not to take away chas v'shalom, the simple understanding of the pasuk, but a different dimension to understand. Now let me just discuss. He has a whole discussion of kolabein hayiloid hayoida tashlichu. That was really part two. Part one was he called the Shifra and Puah, and he asked them when Uri'isem to be there with the midwives, and when you see a child, when the women go into birth, and you there you come to assist them, if it is a boy, then you shall cause the boy to die. You shall kill the baby as the baby comes out of the mother's womb. And he gave them a simon. He told them something like, when their thighs become very cold, you know that means they're going into childbirth, and the boys, their heads are up or down. I do not remember. The boys are one way, the girls are another way. Scientifically, we do not know what this means today. Today, there is no difference between a boy and a girl. They come out the same way. But it seems that in ancient times, they came out, a boy's head came out one way, and a girl's head came out in the opposite direction. What that means, I do not know. But that's what it says. That's what it says in Chazal. Now he says over here, if you read and you analyze Egyptology, you will learn very quickly that when a woman gave birth, it was a religious service. You never heard today, and I never heard such a thing today, that when a woman goes into labor, into the hospital, OBGYN is a rabbi. Okay, or a rabbi. You never heard today such a thing, is that the one who assists, the one who brings about birth, the OBGYN, her primary function was a religious leader. Because it is a religious function, it makes a lot of sense. The process of giving birth is a religious ceremony.
Isn't that like baptismal?
Maybe, I don't know, maybe. We've never heard of this now. We've never, what?
The woman is giving birth.
Ein psichas kever b'loy dam. She becomes a nida. You're right.
So then you need someone?
She's a nida. A nida is not a religious service. No, then you can't go say that. A nida is not a religious service. You're right, she becomes a nida. Ein psichas kever b'loy dam. And you know, it makes a lot of sense. Think about it. When a person, Rachmana Lissan, when he dies, let's not talk about the guy we know, you've all seen some television, you go, okay, call the last rites, you have a guy comes, a priest to come and deliver the last rites. But in Yadus, there's something called Vidui, the Shema Yisrael, when Yaakov Inu was about to die, all the children, they came around him, Asuv Yagid Lachem, we go to the hospital, we have a minion of 10 people, say Vidui, Shema Yitzias Neshama. It's a religious service. No, it's not a ceremony. It's not by us. Is it in Shulchan Aruch such a thing? I don't know. We exactly draw the line. Minog, halacha. It's not. Doesn't seem to be a big thing. But it's a religious. It's a religious thing. When at the moment of Yitzias Neshama, we like to have 10 people together to escort the Neshama. I know the truth of this every Shabbos. Unfortunately, it's not so common today, but it used to be a big thing that Shabbos, Shalosh Shuris, you go to the shul. Shalosh Shuris, Shalosh Seudos was done in shul. The whole process. Why do you go to shul for Shalosh Shuris? Why don't you stay home? You have to come to shul for a piece of matzah and some leftover herring? What's the pshat? Because Shabbos, you get the neshama yisera. And when Shabbos ends, you want the yitzias haneshama should be with a minion, with 10 people. It should be together. And as an extension, where does that come from? That comes out of an extension of when a person's neshama leaves this world. Maybe the other way around. The same way the neshama yisera of Shabbos departs in the presence of a tzibur, so too, when a person's neshama departs, it departs in the presence of its tzibur. It's a very beautiful thing to have a shalosh shuris with a minyan. I always tell people that my father had a very big success. My father in his entire life, I'm not trying to brag over my father, from the time he was probably in his early 20s, he led shalosh shuris in the Lower East Side, and the tzibur in the Lower East Side, he was like the unofficial rabbi, and they had shalosh shuris every single Shabbos. And then when he became the Rav in Young Israel, for 29 years, there wasn't a Shabbos when there wasn't a shalosh shuris with at least 10 people. The Tzi'iri Agudas Yisrael. I think it's on top of the Polish, there are two shuls over there. So they had, and there were times initially they wanted to shut it down. They wanted to stop it because of the, you know, people don't come anymore. People come in the summertime, no one's there. Yeah. Every Shabbos, in summertime, winter, and there wasn't a Shabbos, there wasn't a shalosh shuris, we had always a minyan. Always a minyan, always a minyan. It's a beautiful thing to be hot, that you depart from Shabbos. It's the yitzias neshama of Shabbos with a minyan. It's a beautiful thing that unfortunately in this generation has been lost. It was very pashut in the old, and the Al Tehaim, it seems like it was a big thing. Shalosh shuris, you come together. Even if you have nothing to eat, you eat matzah. And America, no, all of a sudden, no one's interested anymore. You dive in early, you go home, you eat, either you don't eat, you do eat, and if you do eat, you eat, you eat. You eat by yourself, with your wife, or whatever it is, you run it. You do it with tzibur. You do it with the zmirois, because neshama yisera. So, by an individual, you always hear stories, that you go to a base of Avel, and oh, it was zeicha, that all the grandchildren came, and he says neshama. So why is birth any different? When a new neshama comes into this world, should it be any different? You should go call the whole family, that the mother is in labor, everyone should come, and they should be there. I don't know how the hospital allows such a thing, and whatever it will be, is that the neshama is coming into this world, it should be greeted with kedusha. Think about it, it's unheard of. Unheard of.
Because we also understand that labor is difficult for the women.
Painful.
And there's yelling.
Yeah. So obviously there are practical reasons why it cannot be done. It's not tznius. It's not
tznius.
The woman is in very great pain.
Yeah.
Okay. Be'etzev tel dibanim. Okay. It's the curse of Chava. It's a curse. So it's not possible for practical reasons. But why not? If there's a will, there's a way. We don't do it. That's not the topic. Egypt was a very... The more you learn about Egyptology, the more you become to appreciate Egypt. They were a very sophisticated society. Very super, super duper sophisticated society in religion and in many concepts. Mm-hmm. And it was a religious ceremony when a woman brought into this world a new neshama. Isn't that amazing? And guess what? They had for this a special chair. Alho of Noyim, stone. He has a whole thing about stone. And what is so amazing is, and it's recorded in these things, is that these chairs were decorated. Special stone, chiseled into the stone, gods and all these crazy things, all these things. And they had wands. They had wands that they would go and they would hit the woman's belly. Not all for religious things, for as a worship to the gods. They're on the right track, you know. This is Avodah Zarah, mamish. But think about it: if they're doing this Avodah Zarah, so why aren't we doing this to the true Hashem? A neshama is coming into this world. At a certain chair, where it was decorated, was on this v'chulu v'chulu. And in fact, in the year 2002, very recently, did they discover for the very, very first time one of these chairs? they discovered one of these ancient Egyptian chairs that was used as a birthing stool, which was decorated with the various...
Who sat on the stool?
The woman in labor, as a religious ceremony. So now Paro says to a Shifra and Pua, you are the rabbi. Who was the first one to give smicha to a woman? Paro. He was a reformer. He gave them smicha, and he said, you are going to do the religious rites when these women, the Jewish women, give birth. You're going to be there. The reason why you're going to be there is because they need a rabbi. When you just like when you die, you call the rabbi. When you're born, at the moment of birth. So u'isem al ho'avnoyim, when the women go into labor upon this religious chair, make sure you kill the baby. Now, how are they going to tolerate that? Now, this is amazing. What it seems to say over here is just it changes everything. Is it's a religious service. The gods are here. It's a human sacrifice. You're not going to outsmart them. Well, you're going to tell the women, oh, well, you're going to kill all the babies. They'll after you do this one time, they'll kill you. You're a murderer. There's a Navod Zer called Moilech, that we're all familiar with, from Nav, where parents would take their baby and they would pass the baby through fire. There are different versions of Moilech, but one of them is they would burn their children as an offering to the gods. Since the moment of birth is a religious ceremony, when the gods are present, if it's a baby boy, then the boy, the moment it comes out, will be offered as a sacrifice to the gods. It's not like we taught in kindergarten. It's also is that you're just going to be a murderer. I'm hiring you as a mercenary to go make your rounds over the whole Klal Yisrael. Every baby boy that comes out, he wants you to kill them. They would be apprehended. They would be locked up. They wouldn't let Miriam and Pua come anywhere near after they do this one time. You're a criminal. So how would they get away with this? I want you to explain to these people that this is since the whole process of giving birth is a religious service and the gods are present, so you have to make an offering. All the male children which come out have to be offered at this time period, in this tkufa. It wasn't meant to be this gzer forever. It was only meant to be until, as the Chazal tell us, see, when you have Chazal and the two together, it makes a lot of sense. People wouldn't tolerate doing this forever. No, right now it's the time. Right now we know in the Ma'azolos that Moshe Rabbeinu is about to be born. So we have to make sure we eliminate the Moshiach Shel Yisrael. How long is this opening? It's a 2-week period of time. So for the next 2 weeks, I want all of the women at this religious ceremony to offer their firstborn, their male children, as an offering to the God. They'll go for it. The Jews themselves will go for it. They'll say, that's right, we have a 2-week period of time. The God of whatever is coming to visit, we're going to give the offering, the baby is going to be offered as a sacrifice to the God, and the rabbi who does the rites, administers the first rites, not the last rites, is present, she will make sure that it's done. What does Shiv and Pur say to Paro? You shaita? Says, what religious service? What kind of crazy nonsense is this? When the baby comes in, ki chayos heina, the nashma chayos. Every woman is a rabbi. They don't need us to administer the first rites. Like Klal Yisrael, everyone's a rabbi. Everyone has a beard. Everyone has a black hat. The police, they complain about when they come on a crime scene, they come to an emergency, they always want to talk to the person who has in charge. Who's in charge? The rabbi. Everyone's a rabbi. Everyone's a rabbi. They come to who's the rabbi? Everyone's a rabbi. How do we know who the real rabbi is? Well, that's exactly what Shifra and Pua told Paro. Paro, this is not like you and you in Egyptian society. We have one rabbi who comes to administer the service. Everyone in Klal Yisrael is a rabbi. Ki chayos heina. They're all b'nei, the living God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're not going to be able to go and convince them to offer their males as an offering to the God at this service because we're not invited. They don't need us. We're not their rabbi. They do it themselves. It opens up a whole new world, at least to appreciate this concept that birth was a religious service. Number two, since it's a religious service, it's a time now to offer a baby as a sacrifice to the God. And the rejection, we're not like you, we couldn't even do it if we wanted to because we're not invited, because everyone in Klal Yisrael is able on their own to appreciate the significance of the event of the birth of a human being. So, and they're not going to do it, so we cannot help you. Okay, that also, you know, you have to go weiter. This was viewed as a very great element of Yiras Shamayim. Why? Because it was a nesoyon. What's a nesoyon? When the baby is born, what kind of service are you going to have? You're going to have a secular service, a pagan service for birth. You're going to have a religious, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right away, when the baby is born, if you're going to reject Avodah Zarah. When the baby was born, it was a service of Avodah Zarah. Vayiru hamayaldes es Elokim. We reject this nonsense. We're koyfer be Avodah Zarah. We're koyfer that this service is Avodah Zarah. It was an act of Yir Hashem. It wasn't just stam. Sheve al tase. You're telling us to be a mercenary. We don't want this profession. That's called Yir Hashemayim. When a person chooses not to be a murderer, a serial murderer, you call him a Yir Hashemayim? Is a Yir Hashemayim being a... No, ridiculous. But when you reject Avodah Zarah, then you're Yir Hashemayim. Okay, now there's one last thing. Okay, 5 minutes. This really, I think, is the icing on this is really the, to me at least, icing on the cake. This is an amazing, amazing thing that he says here at the very end. And this is all his own. This is not even part, and what he puts together, Baal Tzofayin, and there's something in the Kinois. It opens up, what he says over here, it opens up wide, like a massive football field, a line in my favorite Kina, and not his favorite Kina, it's the Kina Chav Ches, the Baal Malchus Kina, the very last line, talks about Baal. And this, what he says over here, totally, explains something which probably is one of the biggest mysteries of all the kinnis. Okay, I don't forget to the kinnis now, but at least let's get the idea. Here's the question. Here's what he says. I mean, he goes. This is a chasam. This is a svas ms. Even for the people who do not like this type of stuff that we're learning over here, which I know there are some. It's the last day today, but he goes a svas ms and a mechilta. So you can't not like a mechilta and a svas ms. Very bizarre. Hashem says, I'm going to wipe out all of the gods of Egypt. All the statues come crashing down. Saddam Hussein, all come crashing, all the pictures, all the gods, all come crashing down. Gvalk. They leave. They go towards the Yam. All of a sudden, Hashem says to Moshe, I want you to go back and stand near Baal Tzifon. What is Baal Tzifon? I don't know. Let's hold back for a moment. Baal Tzifon. Paro has spies. Come back and they tell Paro they were almost about to go into the Yam, and all of a sudden they go back to Avodah Zarah, Baal Tzifon. Paro, really? They went back to Baal Tzifon? Wow. Gewaldig. This is what it says in the Medrash. The Medrash says in the Mechilta. Now, I'm not going to read because it's a little bit, the words are very hard to translate, and it's also subject to interpretation. There's a very famous Sefer on the Mechilta, and this is how the Sefer explains the Mechilta. You get the book, you look at all the details over here. Pyro said, you know, wow, amazing. It must be that Baal was maskim to my original Gezerah. Kol habein hayiloid hayoira tashlichu. That's what he says. And therefore, I'm now paroi hikriv, and the Childa goes on, I'm now going to worship, I'm a convert. No more am I going to worship Osiris, no more am I a worshiper of Ra. I'm now going to worship Baal. Baal was not a god of Mitzrayim. Baal was a Canaanite god. And we mentioned Egypt was very tolerant. They allowed Baal, you want to come here, you can come here also. We'll take you in. We're very nice. Anyone who has a god can come. We're very tolerant. Freedom of religion in Baal. But Baal wasn't the main guy. Baal was just second fiddle. Not even. He sat away in the back in the pantheon. He was not from the Chashuvim. But Baal was tolerated. And there happened to be a migdol of Baal Tzofayin that was outside of Egypt. Mm-hmm. Right? Some renegades, they made their own temple called Baal, reformers. They made a temple called Baal. And now, Klal Yisrael is being drawn backwards towards Baal. You know, must be all the gods in Egypt are garbage. Osiris is nonsense. Ra is nonsense. It must be the gods of the Canaanim are the real deal. Because the Baal is not letting them go. He's drawing them back. And the key words, as I said, is it must be that Baal agreed with me back in the day when the whole thing started in the very, very beginning. Kol habein hayiloi hayoira tashlichu. Question: what in the world does Baal have to do with kol habein hayiloi hayoira tashlichu? What in the world? What is Baal? We struggle in with our Navi, Hoshea, the Tzva HaShemayim, everyone is trying.
Said it was a fertility.
No, Osiris was fertility.
No, but for Baal, for Kedamon, it was a fertility.
Was it?
I think so.
All right, I don't know. Baal is a very mysterious god. There are a lot of different dimensions to Baal. I don't know, whatever. But this is a mechilta, is a very. It's a mechilta, it's a medrash. Baal's mask is called a ben hayilot. So first of all, it's taking back the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim full circle. Isn't that amazing? You start out, the original Gezerah is Kol Habein HaYiloid HaYoira Tashlichu. Then Hashem recruits Moshe Rabbeinu. He recruits him all the way in Midian. Gansa Maisa until he comes. Shibud, Gansa, whole story. Makos, Simonim, Oysos, Moifsim. A whole long Chad Gadya. Until we finally see us Mitzrayim, and now we're finally out the door, we're on the way, and then after everything is full steam ahead, there's one hiccup. We go backwards, because we go near Baal, and Paro says, remember back in the very, before Moshe Rabbeinu was even born, there was Baal. I made a gzera. This God now, at the very, very end, was masking to my original gzera. Halay davar. Okay. Now, let's talk to Sfas Emes. Sfas Emes says, why is Baal called Baal Tzifon? Where did Tzifon come? So similarly, you'll see there are many variations, there are many versions. You have many dialects of a language, and many neschois. Chassidim havdol. It's Baba Chassidim, Sadva Chassidim, Alexander Chassidim, the Litvaks, many versions of Litvaks, many yeshivas, everyone has their unique niche. But we're all Maminim, B'nai Maminim, we're all the same, we're all on the same team. So Avodah Zarah, Lahavdol, Elif, Alfei Havdolos, Avodah Zarah, this Baal, and there's all different types of Baal, there's a Baal Tzifon, a version of Baal. So the Sasserim says, Avad, that's Pshat, this is a Jush. And the Jush is, what is Tzifon? Tzifon, as in the Haggadah. In the Haggadah, when we reenact Yitzias Mitzrayim, we come to the very, very end, we come to the Afikoyim, and the Afikoyim is in the Haggadah called Tzofayin. Tzofayin, it's hidden away for the very, very end. Tzofayin, you never, when you're at the very beginning, you don't know what's coming at the very, very end. Baal Tzofayin means, this is the Gemar. This is the last Nisayin. The reason why it's called Baal Tzofon, after, even though the whole Egypt was wiped out, over Chol Elohei Mitzrayim Es Eshvatim, but there's still one Avodah Zarah that's Tzofon, that's put away for the very, very end, that's going to serve as a Nisoyon for us, and for our enemies as well. Our enemies as well, they're going to use this. So even though we're mamish at the mamish, the door of Geula, we now have to go through Tzofon, the Afikoyim. The last Avodah before we come into the Geula, before we say Hallel by the Haggadah, after the bench is Hallel. This is Geula. This is the Geula. Before you come to Geula, you go through Afikoyim. What's Afikoyim called? Tzofon. It's the last Nisayon. The last Nisoyon, the Sfas, now you put these two together, this is what he's doing now. Okay, now that's the Sfas Emes. Baal, Tzofon. It's an Avodah Zarah that was Tzofon to the very, very end. Egypt was wiped out, we came to the very end, but there's one more Nisoyon, one more Avodah Zarah called Baal that's Tzofon to the very, very end. That's also very, very esoteric, it's not complete. But now let's put the two together. Put the two together and it opens up a whole new world. Birth pangs, the Chevle Moshiach. Baal Tzofon is the Chevle Moshiach. But put the Mechilta together with the Sfas Emes, which means it's a return. When you come to the very, very end, you have to pass one more test. That's not a new test. The test that you have to pass when you come to the very, very end is the first test. It's a full cycle. I'll give you an example. In Meir Shapiro, the one who founded the Daf Yomi, in his yeshiva, in order to get smicha, the entrance exam into the yeshiva was, you had to know, like, I think 100 daf, I don't know the exact, 100 daf gemara, maybe more. You had to be tested, and you also had to know inside out Chumash Rashi. You had to know mamash. They would test you to get into the yeshiva. You don't step into the yeshiva unless you're a goyim, you know 100 daf gemara. And I'm going to test you, I'm spot check you, Chumash Rashi, you got to know mamash bal peh. You sit in yeshiva by Rav Meir Shapiro for a number of years, you get smicha. Now you got to know half a shas bal peh. But I'm not giving you smicha until I test you on half a shas, or maybe the whole shas, and nochamo. I'm testing you on Chumash Rashi. It's famous. Chumash, you get to get your smicha, Chumash Rashi. And Chumash Rashi to get into the yeshiva. You say this. The first nesayin was kolabein ha'yila yitashluchu. The last nesayin was we're going back to Baal. And what does Pyro say? Pyro says, they're going back to Baal. That's the proof. Baal was maskin. He was agreed with me. The fact that they're being drawn to my first nesayin of kolabein ha'yila yitashluchu. It's all a very big mystery. Until we know what's been discovered from the uteritic tablets, where it describes, discovered in the year 1928 in Syria, tablets, what's it called? Pictures. Picture form called hieroglyphics. Hieroglyphics. And there it describes the Baal cycle. It's a ganze maisa. But one of the elements that was discovered only in the year 1928, and it's not just there, was that Baal is obsessed with killing children. Baal, the ancient, is when you have an enemy, you don't just eliminate the enemy. Part of the mythology, that's what this whole book is about. Mythology of the ancient gods of Baal is that when you kill your enemy, you don't just kill the enemy. Because they have children, they will rise up to come back and haunt you. You kill the children. You focus on killing the... Haman was like that. Haman came for the children. Haman, the whole terror of Haman was mainly the children. The children. But it opens up, he connects the dots. I don't have the details for you, so you have to read the last chapter. But it's something that we only appreciate now from the year 1928 about the mythology, and that's what this whole story is about, of Baal. It's called the Baal cycle. It's the story that all of the Egyptians believed in the whole Seder Adam of Baal, and the Yisoy that we take out is that Baal is very, if you believe in Baal, it means you believe that the way to destroy your enemy is to destroy their children. If the Jews now, I have failed, I wiped out the whole I tried, I called it Ben Ayil, Yotashko, didn't work. Look what happened, they rose up, and now they're coming back to Baal, because Baal, he's the one that agreed to my Yisoid. And what does that mean for us in our generation? We're going through, according to the Sfasemis, the last Nisoyin before the coming of Mashiach is Baal. What is Taka, is Taka so true? What is today the challenge of this generation? I'm taking my own Jewish now is. The challenge, you really ask people, what is the challenge of this generation? Is to raise the next generation. We've never had such a tkuf in Klal Yisrael where it's a very big nesoyon to raise a new generation without them being distracted, without all of the distractions of technology and what's going on in the world. It wasn't so hard when I was a child. What was the big deal? You grew up. What do you do? My parents didn't have to do very much. You go play. You go out to the yard. You go do whatever you want. Today, would you let your kid? You can't let your kid do whatever you want. The distractions today, it's a very big nesayon. We're living ikvus of the Mashiach. We're now coming up against Baal Tzafon. Pyro said, Baal Tzafon is maskim kol habein hayiloid hayoira tashlichu. The effort to raise the next generation of Klal Yisrael is the challenge of this generation. This is the Ifsut Mashiach. It all comes together. And the only thing that he's really adding, which opens up, is when you know, when you study the mythology of it, you learn that Taka Baal, that's what Baal is all about. Baal is all about Kol Abein HaYiloid HaYoyret HaShlichu. All right, with this done, that's it. We get Shem tomorrow on to normal things. Zionism. We'll learn the Hatikva. We'll learn the Hatikva. Yeah.